Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And I said it's kind of an unusual thing because Pastor Dale happens to be gone today. And it's a kind of a catchy little title anyway. You ever heard that saying, while the cat's away, the mice will play? You know? While the cat's away, the mice will play. And some pastors I've heard say, while the pastor's away, the congregation will play. You know, because a lot of times when the pastor's gone, half the congregation is gone too. They say, well, he's gone, he won't know. And they're off doing whatever. So while the cat's away, the mice will play. While the pastor's away, the congregation will play. Or how quickly we forget. Father, this morning I ask that you would bless and anoint, Father, as we bring the word this morning. And Father, I ask that you would give me the words that you would have me to say this morning, Father, because I believe that you have a message for your people today, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Now, I don't want you to think that I mean that while Pastor Dale's away, this congregation is going to play, but we're going to talk about somebody whose congregation sure did. We're going to talk some about Moses this morning, and you all know Moses. And you could think of Moses by some of the various titles and positions that he held during his lifetime. And you remember how Moses was born of a Hebrew woman in Egypt's bondage, and Pharaoh had sent out the decree that all the baby boys were to be killed, and his mother loved him so much she decided she would hide him in a basket in the bulrushes, and that hopefully some Egyptian would find him and take mercy on him and adopt him and take him into their home and raise him, not knowing that it would be the Pharaoh's daughter who would find him and fall in love with him as a baby and take him into her home and raise him as her own son, raise him as the grandson of Pharaoh, raise him to be an important person in the nation of Egypt. And so we can think about Moses that way. We could think about him as General Moses, one who was educated in all the military might and ways of Egypt, raised to rule and to run Egypt's mighty army, because we're talking about one of the greatest nations on the face of the earth at that particular time period, a nation that it seemed like no one could come against, a nation that had reached its height in its civilization and all that it was doing. Or we could call him Dr. Moses, because there's evidence that Moses also studied to be a medical doctor, and he had great training, and he was a man of many virtues and of many situations. He was a man who apparently was very brilliant to be able to do some of the things that he had accomplished in his studies, and a man of importance, a man of power, a man of position. God had put him in a great place. Unlike the way it worked with Joseph, who was thrown into jail, and various things that happened to Joseph. He's thrown into jail, and then he's out of jail, and then he's back in jail, and it seems like he's in problems for a while before finally he comes to the place that God would have for him. But it seems like Moses gets off to a good start. He's already in a great place. In his position, he could do great things for his people, it would seem. But suddenly we find it is the fugitive Moses. Anybody remember the TV series they had called The Fugitive? There's a movie been made about it too, The Fugitive, the doctor that's accused of killing his family and he's on the run. Well, now Moses is the fugitive because he's on the run. He has killed an Egyptian and he is fearful for his own life now. And he takes off and he runs out somewhere, and finally we find him in the backside of the desert. For, you know, been out there a long time, 40 years, tending his father-in-law's sheep. He went out, he got married, had kids. He's out here, he's a shepherd now. Basically a man with a brilliant education, raised to be all of these things as out being a sheep herder. And it would seem that he has gone from the top all the way to the bottom. He has hit the bottom, it would so to speak, but he is now at the place that God can begin to really work in his life. And we're kind of condensing Moses' life here up to a point this morning where we find on the backside of the desert, he is standing there tending his sheep. And I've watched some of the shepherds that we see around here. Anybody see the shepherd around here once in a while that has the sheep? He's over by our house quite a bit, and we kind of watch him, and I've watched him a few times as he's standing there. It seems like a lot of times it's an awful, boring job. Standing there for hours and hours and hours. Nothing to do. I mean, I saw him the other day, and it was raining, and he's standing there with his raincoat on. His two dogs are standing there, and he's on one side of the road, and the sheep are on the other side, eating the brush and what have you. And I thought, man, that's got to be such a boring job. I mean, an hour must take an eternity while you're doing that. And here's Moses, this brilliantly educated man out here on the backside of the desert, tending sheep. And he sees over in to the side a little bit, he sees a bush burning. And I'm told that was not too uncommon for a bush to spontaneously combust. Just burst into flame because of the heat and all the various conditions. But it would soon be gone. Now, I know there's some brush around here that if it spontaneously combusted, it would cause quite a bit because it combusts some other brushes too. But, you know, if the bush itself, some of this brush by itself were to combust, it wouldn't burn very long by itself. That which began to burn would soon be burnt out, but the fire would spread to other things if it were around here. So it was not something unusual, but Moses, you know, really paying attention, but he looks back over and this bush is still burning. Still there, still burning. And funny, how many of you are curious? Come on, raise your hands if you're curious. Most of us are curious. Anybody here chase fire trucks? I don't mean you'll chase them like the dog does, you know, but you get in your car and go see where they're going or something. Nobody here does that? How many people are really being 100% honest with me about it? Or police cars or things like that, you know? You know, the city I used to live in, we heard them so much it got to where it didn't really bother me as much. But now around here, if I see one, uh-oh. But anyway, here it is. His curiosity's got the best of him. He goes over. Well, to make the story short, you know the story. He went over. God spoke to him from the midst of the burning bush, told him to take off his shoes and said, Moses, you're on holy ground. Moses took off his shoes. I mean, he's standing now before the presence of God. And God begins to instruct him in how he is to now become the deliverer Moses. Moses, you're going back to Egypt, and you're going to deliver my people out of Egypt's bondage. Now, quite honestly, Moses wasn't too thrilled about this idea because there was still a price on his head as far as he knew back in Egypt. He didn't think he would be too well received. You know, most of us, in fact, I think every one of us, if we'd committed a murder and we'd skipped off to South America or somewhere to get away from prosecution, we wouldn't be too eager to come back here because there's no statute on murder, you know. We would know that somebody would be waiting for us. He wasn't too thrilled about going back, but God has said to him, you are now to become Moses the deliverer. You're going to lead my people out of Egypt's bondage. Well, you know the story. He argued with God a little bit, but finally he ends up, we find him back in Pharaoh's court. He's got his brother Aaron there with him now. Aaron's a good spokesman. And I don't know if Moses used his inadequacy in speech as an excuse or what. Because later on we find out he did pretty good on his own there. You know, I mean, with God's help he can do a lot of things. And God would have helped him. So finally God says, okay, quit arguing. I'll send Aaron with you. And he goes there. He's now standing before Pharaoh as Moses the deliverer. He's been there as Moses the general. He's been there as Moses the doctor. He's been out of there as Moses the fugitive and the shepherd. But now he's back as Moses the deliverer. Now, we could call him Moses the Deliverer as he led his people out of Egypt's bondage, crossed the Red Sea, and on towards the Promised Land. But most of all, for this time period that we find him out here in the desert, with all these millions of people that God has delivered out of Egypt's bondage, using Moses as his instrument, we can now call him Pastor Moses. Do you ever think about it, Floyd? Moses pastored the world's largest congregation. He had the world's biggest church. I mean, I've heard of some, you know, and they can count them and say, yeah, we got 10,000 people who are members of our church. Bill, when you should go into your church, you find 50 people there, you know. That's because they count everybody that's ever been there, you know, one time as a member, you know, and maybe 10,000 people have passed through their doors over the last 50 years. But only 50 people are there now. But Moses has got these millions of people, and he's their pastor. And he's there all the time. They can go to Moses. They can see Moses. They can reach out and touch Moses. You know, if you're on the radio like I am, and you got all these people listening, they can't reach out and touch me, and I can't reach out and touch them, you know. We can it's a one-way communication type thing almost, unless they write to me. But here's Pastor Moses. He's there. He's their pastor. He's their leader. He's their guide. He's the one they're to turn to in spiritual need. He's out there. They're on their way to the Promised Land. I think there used to be a song called "I'm on my way to the Promised Land" or something like that. And don't ask me to sing it because I won't, because I don't remember it. But and you wouldn't want me to anyway. But they're on their way to the Promised Land, and they've come to Mount Sinai in chapter 19, I believe it is. And here they've arrived, and God has given some special instructions concerning this place. And included in these instructions are the fact that they are not to touch the mountain. And that other things are going to take place, and they are to prepare for God to do something special here. And we find in the 18th verse of chapter 19 of the book of Exodus, "And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly." I mean, there was smoke, there was fire, there was earthquake, there was an event taking place. "And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." It says God spoke to Moses in a voice. "And Moses came," "and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up." I mean, you know, Moses might have been a little bit nervous here, because, I mean, this thing's quaking and shaking, and there's smoke and there's fire and all this, and God says, "Come on up, Moses." And Moses goes on up. And then if you kind of read on, you'll find out that Moses is sent back down to do some preparation for the people. And then in chapter 24, God calls Moses back up to the mountain again, and there he remains for 40 days while God gives him divine instruction. So Pastor Moses, at this point, we now find up on Mount Sinai. Been up there for 40 days now, or will be for 40 days. God is talking to Moses. God is setting down some laws, some regulations, some rules of how he wants his people to act and to behave. And Moses is getting these directly from God. And what a time it must have been for Moses to be there in the presence of God in that way and have such a closeness there as God begins to reveal all the various instructions unto him that he wants his people to do as he takes them to the Promised Land. But you know, Pastor Moses was up on the mountain, congregations down below, and then trouble breaks out. Aaron, his trusted right-hand man, bows to the whims of the people, caves in, knew better, but did it anyway. And we go to chapter 32, and it says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up! Make us gods, which will go before us. And as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them," oh, let's back up just a second here. I mean, how quickly they have forgotten. Pastor Moses has been out of town for a few days now. We don't know what happened to him. You know, that mountain's still quaking. There's still smoke and still fire. You know, maybe he's dead up there somewhere. It's time to go on, Aaron. Let's forget about Pastor Moses. Let's forget about all the things that have happened to this point. Make us some gods. We got to have something to worship here, Aaron. I mean, you know, this Moses, he led us out and he told us about God up in the heavens. But we're out here by ourselves now. Make us some gods. We want to see something. You know, so many people, they get that way. They got to have a God they can look at and see and reach out and touch. It doesn't matter that it's an inanimate object. It's something that they can't really do anything. But they said, make us some gods. I mean, they didn't want a God. They wanted some gods. They wanted, you know, if you can make us 10 gods, all the better. You know, make us some gods here. We got to have something to worship Aaron. Well, Aaron should have, as Moses' spokesman, when they stood in the court of Pharaoh, knowing all that God had planned for his people, Aaron should have stood up to the people and said, now listen, people, Moses went up to commune with God, and he'll be back sometime, and then he will tell us what God wants us to do. That's what Aaron should have done. But instead, Aaron says, well, why don't you, in verse 2 of chapter 32, and says, Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. Now this tells us, you know, how they say history repeats itself. This just dawned on me here. History repeats itself. You know, 10 years ago, you only saw women wearing earrings, you know. Now you see as many guys wearing earrings as you do women, it seems like. Well, that must have been doing it back then, because he said, take the earrings off your wives and off your sons and off your daughters, and bring them to me. Bring me all that gold that they're using for earrings. And the people break off the golden earrings that were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Man, you talk about blasphemy. You talk about treading on dangerous ground. God has been merciful to them after all the time they've spent in Egypt's bondage and slavery. God has brought them to this point. And just because Pastor Moses has been out of town a few days, they've thrown him aside. They've thrown God aside and said, now this golden calf is our God, and it's the one that brought us out of the land of Egypt. God rightfully should have, you know, burned them up right then. These are our gods now, Aaron. Man, we'll bow down to this golden calf. Oh, golden calf, you brought us out of Egypt. Yeah, that golden calf didn't exist 2 days before. You know, but it's the one that brought him out of Egypt. And Aaron saw it. And he built an altar before. I mean, he compounds worse upon worse, you know. Bad upon bad. Terrible upon terrible. However you want to say it. He was making some big-time mistakes. And Aaron saw it, and he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now, I don't really know if that was a feast to God Jehovah, that he was going to turn around into something else, or if he's just now saying, we're going to start a new tradition. I don't really know that. But he says, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. They're having party time. The pastor's away. His congregation's really going to play now. I mean, they're having a good time. It's party down, you know. Moses is gone. We got a new God now. It's a party God. You know, we're going to have a good time. Moses, Pastor Moses, he stood up on the mountain. And like was mentioned earlier today, God doesn't have to wait for us to tell him what we've done wrong. He already knows. And God knows what's going on down off the side of the mountain. Verse 7, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. I think there's something interesting here. You know, did you ever, when you were raising up your kids, you know, one of them get in trouble, Floyd, did you ever look at Nancy and say, that son of yours? You know, or maybe Nancy looked at Floyd and said, Floyd, that son of yours, he's no son of mine, he's your son now, he's in trouble, or whatever, you know. Yeah. And God said, Moses, your people. It's your people now, Moses, that you brought out of Egypt. I don't want nothing to do with these people. You have corrupted themselves. And they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them, and they have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and have said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. I preached a message here sometime before called When God Gets Mad. Well, this is one of the examples of when God got mad. I mean, he was angry. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. I mean, you couldn't hit them over the head with a club, Moses, and get them to be obedient right now. They're a stiff-necked people. And now, therefore, let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. Boy, God was steamed. I mean, just to put it bluntly, God was steamed. He was ready to wipe them all out. He said, Moses, I'm going to save you some problems. Just stand back, Moses. Let me at them. Man, I'm going down there, and they're history. They're history, Moses. Let me tell you that. When I'm finished, it's just going to be you, Moses. But I'll tell you, Moses, I'll make of thee a great nation. Now, Pastor Moses could have got awfully tempted there because these people had given him some problems already, you know. He'd already had a few problems and a few run-ins with some of them. Man, here's a tempting thought. God's going to wipe them all out and he's going to make a great nation out of me. Maybe this might not be a bad idea, you know. But no, Moses was a good pastor. He was a good pastor. Verse 11, it says, And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why dost thou wax hot against thy people, which is brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. He said, God, hold off a minute now, God. You know, if you go out and kill all these people, you know, all these heathens over there in Egypt are going to say, See, that's the kind of God that they were serving. He took them out in the desert and killed them all. You know, God, you don't want them to say that about you, you know. You don't want to give them any opportunity to speak bad about you. He says, Remember, Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidest to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. He's reminding God, he says, God, now you made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that their seed would be as the sand of the sea, and they would inherit this land forever. I want to remind you of that, God. It says in verse 14, And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. We read in the Bible where God got mad a few other times at people. And sometimes he consumed them. Sometimes he stood back and said, Well, maybe I better not do this. But here is the point now that God is at. He is set to destroy his people. Moses, the good pastor that he is interceded for the people. And it says, And the Lord repented the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain. And the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand, the tables that were written on both their sides, and on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and these writing was the writing of God graven unto the tables. And Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted. Because you see, at this point, if I recall correctly, some other people had gone partway up the mountain with him. And Joseph had heard the noise of the people as they shouted and said unto Moses, There's a noise of war in the camp. Moses, what's happening down there? I hear a big noise. I think there's a war going on. I think there's a battle going on. In verse 18, And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. In other words, Moses is saying, Joshua, you don't hear the noise of war down there. You hear the noise of party. Those people down there are having a big party. They're all carried away with what they're doing. Now God got angry. Moses talked God out of that. But Pastor Moses then got mad. Verse 19, It came to pass, as soon as he came nigh to the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand, and broke them beneath the mount, and he took the calf which they had made, and burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strewed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. You like this gold calf so much, you can drink it now. You know? You liked it that much, huh? It's going to be a part of you now. You can drink that stuff. So you can drink it. And then he looks into his trusted ally, Aaron. Aaron, what in the world were you thinking about? Why did you do this? You knew better. I mean, I depended upon you as I was going up to commune with God. You were supposed to be taking care of things down here. What in the world happened? I mean, I left you in charge. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people do unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? What did they do to you? Did they twist your arm, Aaron? I mean, did they threaten your life? You know, were they going to take you out and crucify you or stone you or something if you didn't do this? What did they do to you? And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. You know this congregation, Pastor Moses. You know how they're all the time wanting to get into trouble. You know, don't get too mad about them. You know, just chill out a little bit, Moses. You know, it's not too bad. You know, they're just, you know how they're set to party. You know. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Moses, you were gone a long time. They didn't know what happened to you. I mean, you know, take it easy, Moses. I mean, they thought maybe you were dead up there or something. You know, they had to do something, you know. Come on, think about it, Moses. I mean, he's trying to explain away here. He says, and I said unto them, whoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire. I mean, you know, let's be serious here, Aaron. I mean, you're going to ask him to give you a gold so you can just cast it into the fire and burn it up? You know, I don't think so, Aaron. You know, but anyway, he says, I cast it into the fire. And you know what happened, Moses, after I cast all this stuff in the fire? Out popped this golden calf. Can you believe it? Man, I mean, I threw this stuff into the fire, and the next thing you know, golden calf. Man, if I could get a patent on this thing, Moses, we'd make a fortune selling these things, you know. Just throw the stuff in the fire, out pops a golden calf. I don't know how it works, but that's what happened, Moses. I swear to you, Moses, on a stack of Bibles, Moses, cross my heart, swear to God, that's what happened. Cast the stuff in the fire, out popped a golden calf. And Moses looks around a little closer now. It says, Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. I mean, they not only went into party, they went into debauchery and everything else. I mean, they had gone as far as you could go, just about. I mean, it was almost Sodom and Gomorrah time again there. And Moses is ticked. But you know, it's a good thing they had a good pastor. Because Pastor Moses could have said, look, God, maybe I shouldn't have talked you out of this after all. Maybe I was in error in talking you out of this. Maybe you better go ahead and do your thing, God. Let me just rub it out. Anybody here ever say, you know, if I were God, I'd sure do this a certain way. You know, and if I were God, this wouldn't take place because I'd just zap them right now, you know. And Moses may have been thinking a little bit, you know, he could have been thinking, okay, God, go ahead, zap them, get rid of them. They deserve it. I'm sorry I talked you out of it. Do your thing, God. But Moses, being the great pastor he was, began to intercede with God for the people. Down in verse 31 of chapter 32, he says, and Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made themselves gods of gold. And he begins to pray to God and intercede with God for the people, even to the point that he says, God, if you're going to destroy them, then destroy me also. Blot me out as well. Get rid of me too, God, because these are my people that you have given me to lead. And God, if you've got to get rid of them, get rid of me too. And Moses, the pastor that he was, touched the heart of God. The people have sinned a great sin, but God, have mercy on them. God, have mercy on them. And I think somewhat what we read here in this story, we look around in the church world today and we see some of these great things going, same things going on. They're not great things, they're same things. We find that people are turning their back on God. They're going in and they have the form of godliness, but they don't have the power of it. They don't have the real thing. You know, sometimes you can talk the talk, but you've also got to walk the walk. And there's a lot of people out there that can talk the talk today, and they can sound religious, but they're not walking the walk. And these people here, they could talk the talk because Moses had given them instruction, but they weren't walking the walk. And the first opportunity they got to backslide, I mean, they backslid big time. I mean, they went really down the hill fast. And I know sometimes that as we're living our lives and we've been studying on holiness and so on, that there are times that the enemy comes against us and he tempts us and he talks to us and tries to get us to sin, and sometimes we slip and we do sin. But we then can turn to God, who is a merciful God, and ask forgiveness of that sin. But these people here, they had reached the apex that they didn't want to look to God. They wanted to look to something else. They wanted to find another idol to worship. They wanted to go back to the way things were before. They wanted to have that something they could reach out and touch. And today, here in the Christian church today, we don't find ourselves necessarily making a calf of gold, but we've sure put a lot of other things up to be idols in the church world today. And we've I've preached messages where, you know, some people make their boats their God, they make their automobile their God, they make this or that their God. But you know, it's come into the church world today, we have made people our God. We have made various people within the church our God, and we have made some ministers our God. We've made them our God to the point that if they fall, we fall right along with them. And however they go, we go. And if they sin, we sin. And we need to repent. And we need to watch ourselves that we are standing true to God today. We have pastors. Sometimes we call our pastors shepherds. But the Bible tells us Jesus is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the shepherd of our souls. He is our great pastor. And our pastor, such as we have here in this church, Pastor Dale, is his underling, is his under-shepherd. And he has been put in charge of this group of sheep. But Jesus is the great shepherd. Call it the master shepherd or whatever you would have it to be. But he is our great pastor. And if it was not for him interceding before us, or for us before the Father, sometimes God might look down and say, I'm fed up with these people called Christians, and I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. I'm going to do just like I did back with those people sinned when Moses was their pastor. But Jesus intercedes for us because he is our great shepherd. He is our great pastor. We're living in a day and age when everything in the world is set out to try to cause us to sin, cause us to fall. You know, it might have only taken Aaron saying, look, people, Moses is up there communing with God. You see that mountain shaking? You see that smoke? You see that fire? That's the power of God. God is there. Now just hold your horses and wait. Moses will be back. He could have done that. But instead he just fell right into the trap and said, okay, let's make ourselves a golden calf. Let's party out. Let's find a new God. And so many times today we would seem that there's new gods popping up everywhere. If there isn't some type of new religion, is somebody coming along and telling you that you're God? Well, I'd hate to think that we were God, because, man, the whole thing would really be a big mess if we were gods. But we're not gods. And I'm glad of that. There's a lot of responsibility goes with being God. But Moses came down and he interceded for his people. It's easy to fall into sin. It's easy to fall into sin if we aren't careful. I mean, if we ask God to be with us and to watch over us and the Holy Spirit to give us guidance, we can withstand against the sin that would come against us. But if we don't do that, it's easy to fall into sin. There's everything out there to attract you into sin. There's everything out there to cause you to want to do what is not of God. And we're living in a day when it's becoming more and more happening, that it's taking place more and more. And people wanting you to drift away from the ways of God and the things of God. And like it was with the people then, it's still the same today. There's a price to pay for sin. It says in verse 34 of chapter 32, therefore now go, lead the people into the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. God's calmed down a little bit, I guess, here. He said, okay, Moses, I've heard your intercession here. I've listened to your plea for this people. You go on and you pastor this people, and you take them on towards the promised land. And I'm even going to send an angel before you. I'm going to take care of you out here. Nevertheless, in the day which I visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. See, there's a price to pay for sin, too. You know what? We look around and sometimes you say, well, you know, nobody will know if I do this or nobody will know if I do that, you know. And they might not, you know. They might never find out. But God knows. And God has said, sometimes your sins will catch up with you. You know, I still remember years ago, I visited a little hospital, a little private hospital in the city of Downey. It was just children, no one in there over the age of 6. They were all going to die. Most of them, anyway, were going to die before they reached the age of 6 or a few years past that. One baby with the head the size of a basketball. And the person who took me through told me, said, you know what? She says, there's one thing that caused this. And she said, it was sin. She said, it was sin. See, the babies here didn't sin. It's not their fault. But this is the result of sin. In the lives of the parents, the drugs they took or whatever else they did, that caused these babies to be born this way. And God visited the sin of the parents. I'm glad that Jesus loves us today, that He is our great shepherd, that He is our great pastor. And sometimes we can look around and it would seem like all the things in this world are going wrong within the church world, and the church has took a beating over the last few years. We've had a lot of great things be exposed in ministry, and it seems like every day something new is coming out that's negative to God and to Christianity. But I still believe God is God, and I still believe we have that great shepherd, Jesus Christ, and I still believe He cares about us, and He wants us to be with Him forever and forever. I still believe all those things. And I still believe that He is interceding before the Father for us, and that when we do stumble and fall, that Jesus goes before the Father and says, Father, forgive them of their sin. Father, forgive them. Don't destroy them for this. And all we have to do is ask. I'm grateful for that today. Now, in the natural, here in Calvary Christian Assembly, Pastor Dale's away today. But it looks to me like the majority of the congregation's here, you know. So they're not out playing. But our great pastor, our great shepherd is away. He's back at his Father's house right now. Let's don't go out and play while the pastor's away.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.